Frank Bruno is director and senior business strategist at Iron Mountain. In this role, Frank consults with business professionals throughout the world on risk mitigation strategies relative to technology transfer transactions. By introducing protection measures that instill trust, the buyer and the seller can overcome risk objections, allowing them to focus on doing business. Recognized as a subject matter on software as a service continuity services, Frank has worked with dozens of companies in need of contingency plans to address the risks of entrusting cloud services. Please welcome Frank Bruno to the Cloud Developer Summit and Expo.
Morning, everyone. Can you hear me? All right. Am I on? Am I on? Good. Iron Mountain is a global industry leader in records and information management. You may see our trucks rolling down the streets carrying boxes or tapes or tipping bins to do shredding. My business unit is the Intellectual Property Management Group, and we manage intellectual property for obvious reasons to help the owners protect their interest in their intellectual property, but also we leverage intellectual property to secure relationships between buyers and sellers. The majority of our business is with software technology and with the cloud. You know, that's kind of made our jobs a little bit more complex, and hopefully we'll be able to shed some light on a few things that are preventing us from reaching the tipping point. And when I say tipping point, I'm really talking about enabling SaaS in the enterprise markets. Did you know that today almost half of all deals don't close because of a lack of trust? Because the seller, and the buyer in certain cases, cannot overcome the risk objection to doing business. They're unsure how they're going to execute their exit strategy when they need to. And the solution, of course, is to be able to, or to enable the buyer to execute their exit strategy when they need to on their timeline. So that's a little bit about what we're going to talk about today. And that is, you know, when there is a problem with the SaaS provider, and they're listed here, the buyer needs to have some means to continue using the application long enough for them to recover their data and migrate to a new solution on their timeline. So it's more than just leveraging intellectual property, or in this case, source code. If you're not familiar with the concept, source code is a hybrid of patents, copyrights, and trade secrets. You know, creates software that enables businesses to operate more efficiently to satisfy a business need. But if that technology is not available, either through an extended outage or through a denial of service, that's a problem. It's a real problem. You know, back in the day when software was delivered on a disk and run on a server on premises, it wasn't so much of a problem to continue using the software, because if something happened to the software vendor, you know, they would still have the application running on premises, and they would also have their database right there next to it. So when you're talking about SaaS and you're talking about mission critical data, you know, that's a quandary. It's a quandary. And what happens is you know, a lot of these problems pop up during the sales process. So how can you be more efficient in terms of selling software? Well, creating trust, for one, giving the buyer a means to continue using the software application if something should happen to them is another. And then, you know, certainly having the ability to extract your data and migrate it to a new solution to complete the contingency plan is also very, very important. So before the relationship is consummated, you know, the buyer is going to conduct their due diligence. And Mark Clark from Paragon did a presentation on FedRAMP and being a third-party assessing organization. And I thought that was kind of interesting. I'd done a little bit of research on that and found that a lot of what the government has created is pertinent to the seller, the software company in this case. And when they talk about contingency plans, they don't necessarily address what happens if the business fails. You know, if a startup burns through their cash fast and now they have to shut their doors and they've got, you know, about 50 customers that are, you know, kind of wondering how they're going to survive them. You know, if it's mission critical data, that's going to be a real bad day. So companies now are taking more of a focus on performing risk assessments. They're doing their requirements gathering. They're considering a contingency plan. And even then, almost half of these deals are falling through because they're of a lack of trust, because they can't overcome the risk objection, or they can't do it adequately. Because I'll tell you right now, and this is, you know, primary part of our business is technology escrow. So we store a lot of source code on behalf of buyers in case their sellers go out of business. But if something happens and we release the source code to the buyer, do they really know how to use it? Would they be able to successfully replicate the SaaS provider's technology and continue running the software? Would they be able to get access to their data somehow? And these are things that need to be considered as part of the contingency plan. The bullets that are on this screen right here are very important because, you know, unless the buyer can execute the contingency plan independently of the provider, there's really no way, in my opinion, that they're going to be able to survive that situation. So the contingency plan needs to involve the players who are currently supporting the technology. So if you could imagine, and we're working on a transaction now, which is an excellent case study, where the seller realized that in order for them to close their deal, they had to put in place a contingency plan that the buyer could execute independently of them. And then they called us and they said, well, you know, what are our options? And I said, well, your options are pretty darn good, because number one, you called me, right? And we have a lot of answers for you, or a lot of recommendations. But two, they can become a part of the solution. So as a SaaS provider supporting your application, and we know that's not easy, and we know that no one else but you can do it. So guess what? You're going to be a part of the solution. And if you have a hosting company like Rackspace or Amazon, they too will become a part of the solution, because the contingency plan has to be executable and it has to involve the cast of characters that are currently supporting the technology today. So imagine this. You know, software as a service company is announcing that they're winding down business operations. They're going to be done in a month, and you know, they've advised all of their customers that they need to get their data out, right? And we're talking petabytes of data they need to get out. Well, that's a really tough situation to be in. But if I knew that, you know, I can support the technology longer, even though I don't necessarily have the cash, but I can get the cash from the people who, you know, who own the data and keep the lights on long enough, then as the SaaS provider, if I'm the CTO of a SaaS provider company, you know, I can work independently to keep the lights on just long enough for them to execute their exit strategy, for them to recover their data, source a new SaaS provider, and then migrate over to the new solution. So that's the contingency plan, is being able to enable your subscribers, your customers, to survive you if something were to happen. And being a part of the solution is really something that should be well documented. When I think about FedRAMP, you know, I was very excited when I first learned about it, because, you know, these government agencies are coming together, they're determining the requirements that are necessary for SaaS providers to do business with the federal government. And I'm convinced that this will also become a common standard amongst enterprise organizations that are considering the cloud for mission-critical business applications. And look at the opportunity. I mean, right now, the majority of SaaS subscribers that are fully vested in the cloud are really small to medium-sized businesses. There aren't a tremendous amount of Fortune 1000 companies that are putting all of their eggs in the cloud basket. And they're not going to until they're comfortable knowing that they have a means to continue without you, without the SaaS provider. And what does it mean to the subscriber? So the things on this screen are absolutely critical to the subscriber if we're talking about mission critical data. Time to migrate to a new solution. They're going to need to continue working. They can't just stop. You know, it's not, you know, just not being able to watch Netflix over Christmas. You know, it's about being able to recover my data, which is the lifeline, the lifeblood of my business. It's generated revenue for me. And if that stops, the money stops, I've only got a certain amount of time before I'm out of business too. And by the way, distributed IT back in 2011 got hit with a malicious attack that they couldn't recover from. 4,000 websites went down, majority of them generating revenue. A lot of small companies went out of business that day. And there was no contingency plan for that. They weren't able to recover from it. So having a contingency plan, you know, not being reliant on one particular server or location to be able to fail over, those are all good things. But those are contingencies for the SaaS provider. And if you're selling software as a service, you have to consider contingency plans that your customers can execute independently of you. So, unencumbered access to data. If the application has a means to allow the subscriber to download their data on a nightly basis, we strongly recommend them doing that. We constantly tell our customers to go ahead and do that if they have the ability to, regardless of whether or not the data is immediately usable, right? Because, you know, there are things like cast iron appliances that you could run data through to migrate, and IBM supplies that cast iron appliance, which is pretty good. So unencumbered access to data. If there isn't a means to download your own data, then you've got to make arrangements to have periodic drops depending on what the recovery point objectives are, right? So maybe daily, weekly, monthly, you know, whatever. And then considering the arrangement that's in place, you know, what you're really doing is you're enabling that trust, getting, you know, enabling the parties, the buyer and seller, to overcome the risk objections so that they could focus on doing business, focus on the vendor deliverables and how it's going to improve their current state. Governance, risk, and compliance policies are currently, I mean, they're evolving, and more companies are adopting GRC policies that will prevent them from, you know, putting their mission critical data in the cloud unless they've got certain contingencies in place. So all these other things, minimizing risk of loss, avoiding litigation due to disputes, and then, you know, being able to focus on vendor deliverables, you know, these are the things that are important to the subscriber. And if you're selling software as a service, it's very, very important to understand this buyer dynamic because, hey, that's what's standing between you and hitting quota or exceeding quota. To the provider, you know, you're satisfying the buyer's requirement. But it's so important to instill that trust with the client. It's so important, otherwise it will never buy from you. You know, I indicated earlier that almost half of all deals fall through because of a lack of trust, because the parties weren't able to get to overcome the risk objection to doing business. But think about what you can do if you did have some kind of a contingency plan in place. And you productized it maybe. Hey, you could charge money for it. You could sell it as a value-added service option. But it's important to have that within your product set, because if you don't, and your software handles mission critical data, it's going to be that much more difficult to sell. Not to mention, you know, how it may level the playing field with more established competitors. So we see a very high number of small startups approaching us with this problem, and you know, everybody's got a prospect that they're working on, and as a requirement, you know, as you know, in order for them to stay in the race, they've got to have this solution in place, this contingency plan in place. So having something like that is important because it helps them to compete with more established players, not to mention the competitive advantage that they would get, you know, when you're comparing apples to apples. Now, one company may be larger than the other, but if there is a contingency plan in place that allows them to survive or migrate when they have to execute their exit strategy when they have to, they're going to be more willing to do business with you. Contingency plans, that is absolutely, I'll just go back one. Contingency plans are absolutely critical in terms of being able to bypass the risk objection to doing business and to focus on doing business. Thank you.